We commence reading at verse number 1 of Ephesians chapter 6, and let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's just stand to our feet for a wee word of prayer. Let's just to change your position. We'll just stand and we'll bow our heads and close our eyes and reverently seek the face of God and ask God's blessing upon the ministry of the word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take the word tonight and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that our God, that thou wilt speak to us as families. And O God, may we listen to thy word. And O God, may thy word penetrate our souls. And O God, if there are those tonight that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come and receive Christ as their Savior and their Lord. We do remember our God, every father that's in this meeting tonight. We pray that you'll bless moms and dads, and especially on this Father's Day, that thou wilt bless the dads of the home. And we pray that, O God, that thou wilt instruct them even through thy precious and thy holy word. We pray for the cleansing of the blood, and O God, make me clean. And Father, shelter us in the blood tonight and fill us with thy Holy Spirit. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse number 23, it tells us, it says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Of course, you and I know that this is, in the world, it is Father's Day, and therefore I want us to turn to the Word of God tonight. And here we have instructions for the head of the home, or the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. However, you and I know that many homes today, fathers abdicate their responsibility, and they do not carry the weight of their responsibility upon their shoulders. Of course, you could ask the question, well, what responsibility is it that fathers have in the home? In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. And therefore it is important that fathers instruct their children. And that is an important responsibility. It says, forsake not, or my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, as ye know how that we exhorted, or we urged and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And there we find here the responsibility as the father exhorts and the father comforts and the father charges or directs his children. And that is a responsibility also that they have in the home. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, it says, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And there we find once again the solemn responsibility to bring children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, in the chapter 22, it says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. Once again, we have parental responsibility, and especially fathers, to train up their children or nurture their children and admonish their children in the fear of the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 7, it says, if ye endure chastening or discipline, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? There, once again, we have the responsibility of the father in the discipline of the home. And he has the responsibility of that leadership, even in disciplining the home. You know, sometimes we find that fathers will say, wait till your mother gets home. And my, they leave off the responsibility of the discipline or taking charge of that responsibility of the home. Now, you and I could go on and on as we find the responsibilities that fathers have in the home. And, of course, with responsibility, there always comes accountability. Now, a lot of people today, they talk about their rights. They never talk about their responsibilities. Friends, fathers, in this meeting tonight, you have a responsibility. And you will have an accountability, because one day you will have to answer to God of how that you ruled your home in the fear of the Lord. I want us to look at some fathers tonight, and just, I can only give you because I want to touch them. There are many different pictures of fathers in the home that I want you to give, and you can study them tonight in your own time. But I want to just mention, first of all, we have a surrendered father. We have a surrendered father. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis in the chapter 22, and in that chapter 22, we have a father there, and his name is Abraham. It says in the verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." And here we have a surrendered father. My friend, we could also go back in his life in the chapter 12 of the book of Genesis when God first called him and he told him to go to a place where he would not give him the name of the place where he was taken, a place where he knew not of, and yet he was looking for a city that God had promised him, a city whose builder and maker was God. You see, Abram feared God. And here was a man, and he loved the Lord, and he feared, he was in awe of God, and he was willing to go through with God and obey God, no matter what it cost. He was a surrendered father, and he surrendered himself completely. He not only feared God, he followed God. Because the Bible tells us that when God called him to go into this land, he made no excuses. He didn't ask a pile of questions. He simply followed the instruction of the Lord. As it says in the book of Hebrews and the chapter number 11 and the verse number 8 concerning him, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." He feared God. He followed God. But I'll tell you something else about him. He had fellowship with God. He was a man that was in touch with God. He was a man that heard the voice of God. And friend, let me tell you over and over again, we find that Abram raised the altar unto the Lord. He was a man who was a surrendered father. And I wonder tonight in this gathering tonight, is there fathers in this gathering and you are surrendered totally to go through with God? You're fearing God. You're following God. You're in fellowship with God. And I'll tell you this, fathers need to do what Abram did. He raised the altar. And I'll tell you before God tonight, Father, if you're saved tonight, you have a responsibility to raise the altar in your home and raise that family altar unto the Lord. And that's the first father I want us to notice. It's a surrendered father. We often sing the hymn, "Go through with God, thy vows to pay, thy life upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and he'll give to thee God's very best." Are you that surrendered parent tonight in this gathering? You, the child of God, that surrendered completely. No matter what God says, let me tell you, God says, "Take thy son on the altar." But my friend, Abram was willing to go through with God no matter what it cost. Are you like that tonight? Are you a surrendered father going through with God no matter what God says? You're willing to say, Father, I'll obey. Heavenly Father, just tell me what it is, and I'll obey what you want me to do. Friend, there's a second father I want us to think about, and there's someone else that was associated with Abraham, and his name was Lot. And the second person I want to talk tonight about and bring a message tonight about, it is a sinful father. What an awful tragedy this is. A sinful father, a man who professed the name of the Lord. And yet, my friend, he did not fear God. He did not follow the Lord. He did not walk in fellowship with God. Sad to say, he was a man who was out of fellowship with God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis and the chapter 13. And in Genesis chapter 13, we read about Abraham and we read about Lot on that day when God was speaking to Abraham. And it says here in Genesis chapter 13, it says this in verse number 8, Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. My friend, here's another father, and he's unlike Abraham. He's a father, and the tragedy is this. He got his eyes upon things. He saw those lush green pastures of the plain of Jordan. And whenever Abram said, if you turn to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. Here was a man that God had promised to give him so much, and God had blessed him so much, Abraham. And yet he was willing to let Lot have whatever he desired. The sad thing about Lot was this. He had a lack of standards. He had a lack of standards. There's no doubt, my friend, he was a man that had a lack of standards. And you know, it came into his own home. Because if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 19, it says this, whenever the angel of the Lord came and said he was going to destroy the city of Sodom. If you look in verse number 14, it says this. That is Genesis 19:14. And Lot went out, and he spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Friend, he had a lack of standards. And now whenever the day of testing came and he told his sons-in-law, get out of the city, God is going to judge Sodom, and God is going to destroy Gomorrah, they just laughed at him. Why? Because, friend, let me tell you, up to that time, remember, it was Lot that brought them to Sodom. It was Lot that looked out there, and all he could see was those green pastures. He didn't think about the sin. He didn't worry about the sin that he was bringing his family into. He had a lack of standards. Father, I can say before God tonight in this meeting, you have a responsibility before God to set the standards in your home. And you know, there are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And Dad, if you profess the name of Jesus Christ in God's name, stand up for what is right. And speak up for what is right. Instead of saying, well, listen, just do whatever you like. Get your own standards. Here was a father, and when the day of crisis came, and he tried to tell them what was right, get out of the city, they laughed at him. They laughed at him. Who do you think you're talking to? Aren't you the one that brought us in here? You see, my friend, let me tell you, Sodom and the plains of Jordan was good enough for cattle.
but it wasn't good for children. And friend, let me tell you, you can get your eyes upon the things. My, you can get your eyes on worldly things, and you can lose out. And there's a lack of standards here, because this was a sinful lot, a sinful father who was backslidden and got away from God and led his children into sin. But you know, not only had he a lack of standards, friend, he had also a lack of spirituality. Because if you look at that 19th chapter of the book of Genesis, you find something else. Whenever those ungodly, wicked men of Sodom came to the door of Lot, and they tried to knock down that door, what did he say? Go with me to Genesis 19. I want us to read some very sad verses from this passage of God's word. Look at verse number 4. But before they laid down, the men of Sodom, even the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house about, both old and young, and all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and they said unto him, where are the men that came to thee this night? Bring them out to us, that we may know them. Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you. And do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Here was a father, friend, and let me tell you, he had so far backslidden that he was willing to give his daughters to the sinful men of Sodom as long as he was safe. He didn't care what happened to his daughters. And friend, it was only because of the prayers of another man, Abraham, that Lot and his family were saved from that disaster. Friend, let me tell you before God, here was a father, and he was willing to sacrifice his children. He had no standards in the first place. He set his face, and he set his face towards Sodom. And my, he set his tent towards Sodom. Then we find him in the gate of Sodom, one of the chief persons of the city. And then he had a house. He exchanged his tent for a house in Sodom. And he destroyed his family. Destroyed his wife. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back into that city, my friend, and what an awful tragedy. Read the story of the rest of the family. Here's a sinful father. The first one was a surrendered father. The second one was a sinful father. But friend, let's turn to the book of Joshua now. And we come to another father. And we come to chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. And I want you to read in chapter 24 and verse number 14. Joshua is coming to the end of the journey. You say, how do I know? How do I know that Joshua is nearly the end of the journey? The end of his battle against the Canaanites and all the enemies that surround him. I know because in chapter 23 and verse 14 it says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Old Joshua's about to die. And friend, as he's about to die and leave the nation of Israel behind, he gathers in verse number 1 of chapter 24, he gathers all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. And he calls for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they present themselves before God. Joshua gives them a challenge before he leaves. Before he closes his eyes in death and leaves his family behind, he gives his nation a challenge. Comes down to verse 14 and he says this, now therefore fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. To serve the Lord. See, my friend, Joshua was a man of choice. He knew it was either one or the other. You can't have it both ways. You know, a lot of people today, they want to sit on the fence. They don't want to take a stand for that which is right. They don't want to speak out for that which is wrong, against that which is wrong. And so here's a father, and he's coming to the end of the journey. He's leaving his family behind, but he's leaving his nation behind that he has led after Moses. And he says, fear the Lord. He says, serve him in sincerity and truth. But he says to do that, listen, you've got to do something. You've got to put away the gods of your father, that your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and to serve the Lord. You can't have God and the false gods at the same time. You're people trying to walk two sides of the road at the same time. Friend, you can't do it. The most dangerous part of the journey of a road, friend, is this, is walking in the middle of the road. You're neither on the right-hand side or the left, and you know you're in danger of getting knocked down. God's people and fathers in this nation and in this province and in this congregation, my friend, tonight, fathers have a responsibility to do that which is right. And here was Joshua. He was sure about his choice. The false gods or the true God. Then he said this in verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You've got a choice to make. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's a father, friend. Here was a sure father. As for me and my house, he made a decision. You notice what this decision was, not only for himself. This decision impacted upon his family. And fathers, let me tell you, there are decisions that you'll make, and friend, they'll impact upon your family. Dad, you have a tremendous influence upon your children. Do you know what God says to parents tonight? He says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. The tragedy is this, that so many parents, yes, even professing Christian parents, friend, and they have no burden for their children's salvation, and they have no burden for their children's stability. And they say, listen, you just choose wherever you want to go. You make the choice. Let me tell you, my father, fathers in this meeting tonight, you have a responsibility before God. Dare you to abdicate your responsibility. Here's the father of this family, says this, as for me and my house, whatever the nation do, as for me and my house, this is the choice that I'm making. He says, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to serve God. We're going to do that which is right in the sight of God. Here was a sure father that took a stand. He knew where he was standing. He knew why he was standing. And friend, he took it for his family. Fathers, in God's name, let me say this to you. It grieves my heart whenever I see fathers say, you know, I don't really make my children go to Sunday school. They just make up their own mind. I don't make my children go to church. My little boy there, just at 6 or 7, he can have a little, legs up and down and stamp the ground. Say, I'm not going to church. And you know, isn't he just a lovely wee fella? Let me tell you, Dad, you're heading for danger. Your child is heading for danger. But let me tell you, when he goes out into the world, he'll not stamp up and down. The world will soon teach him a lesson. Why don't you? As for me and my house, he said, here is a dad that's sure about his choice. Sing the wee hymn, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. The cross before me, the world's behind me, I'm not going back. Friend, if God has called you to take a stand, and he does call his people to take a stand outside the camp for the glory and the honor of his name, then in God's name, don't go back into apostasy. God brought you out, stay out. Stay outside the camp for the glory of his name. Don't desire to hanker back after those plains of Jordan or those grasses of Egypt. We've looked at a surrendered father. We've looked at a sinful father. We've looked at a sure father. I want us to turn to 1 Samuel now, chapter 3. And then here's another father. And he's a slack father. He's a slack father. See, this Bible here tells me, look at verse number 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. The father I want you to notice here is the old man Eli. He was the aged priest. He was a devout and pious individual. For some 40 years, this old man has been God's messenger to the nation. God spoke to him, and he spoke to the nation for God. For years he has been listening to the word of God. And yet, my friend, time is passing now, and a young lad is destined to take his place. He says, like John the Baptist concerning Christ, I must decrease and he must increase. And that's what's happening here with Eli and Samuel. Eli's going to decrease, Samuel's going to increase. But friend, notice in this passage of God's word, although Eli knew this, there was no spirit of bitterness. There was a spirit of generosity towards Samuel. Samuel wasn't aware of the plan of God for him. And one night, he was probably the age of 12, God called Samuel by name. I remember the little story. Samuel was lying down. Yes, the lamp of God was dim in the temple. And not only was it dim in the temple, it was dim in Israel. The light of God had nearly gone out. And so we find that the little boy, he lies down, and then suddenly hears a voice, and he says, Samuel, Samuel. He runs to Eli. He says, here I am, Eli, here I am. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go and lie down. He lies down again, and as he lies down again, the voice says, Samuel. And as quick as a shot, Samuel jumps up and he runs to Eli and he stands by the old man's side and he said, Eli, you did call me. I heard your voice. You see, as yet Samuel knew not the Lord. He thought it was the voice of man. Instead of that, it was the voice of God. He tells him to go and lie down again. He said, I didn't call you. And then it happened the third time. Samuel, Samuel. Young lad ran back into Eli's presence and he said, you sure did call me, Eli. I heard you called me twice. And then Eli knew that this was the Lord. He said to young Samuel, he said, go back, son, and lie down. And he said, but this is the voice of God calling you. And he said, go back and say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But listen, friend, Samuel couldn't say that. He didn't know the Lord. So Samuel lay down the third time, and the voice called him again. And then he said, speak, for thy servant heareth. And friend, God did speak that night. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And you know, God spoke a message in verse number 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile, And he restrained them not, and therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And here's a slack father. You see, friend, the old man had not committed a great crime as the priest himself, or brought dishonor to the Lord's name himself. The old man, Eli, was not a drunkard. He was not taken in immorality. He of himself had not brought the office of the priest into disrepute. So what was wrong? What was the problem? Why was God going to judge him? Let me tell you, friend, very simple. God was judging him not for what he did, but God was judging him for what he didn't do. He was a slack father. And the Word of God reminds us here in this passage of God's Word, there was a lack of discipline. Go back to chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and verse number 22. It says, "Now Eli was old," or very old, "and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel, and how they lay with the woman that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is not good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. And if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And friend, when God said to him, to Samuel, he said, "I'm judging the house of Eli because of the iniquity which he knoweth. Because his sons made themselves vile." Chapter 3:13. "And he restrained them not." He didn't do anything about it, friend. And he became partaker of his guilt. Now I've looked at that. Why did Eli not? Because his sons were now priests. They were leading his nation into sin. Why did he not stop them? Why did he not restrain them? Why did he not put them out of the office? Some commentators suggest that he was so busy as a judge that he had little time to rule his own family. Let me tell you, my friend, the first responsibility of a father is to rule in his own home. Oh, it's so easy to rule somebody else's home. It's so easy to tell others what they ought to do. But when it comes to your own home, it's not so easy. And so we find here the old man, the high priest. He knew exactly what was wrong, but he was not willing to do it. Why, friend? Because he was too weak. He wasn't willing to take the stand. And the tragedy is this, friend, he wrecked his home. He wrecked his family. Because shortly after this, the two sons are lying on a battlefield dead. And the ark of God's taken. And he has ruined his family. And he has hurt his nation because the glory of the Lord has departed from them. He turned his eyes away from the corrupting influences of his sons. And he just let them away with it. Father, is that what you're doing? Are you willing to just let them away with it? Or will you take a stand and give leadership in your home? And do that which is right in the sight of God. He was a slack father. And then turn to Luke's Gospel 15. And you know the story as well as I know, because here's a spiritual father. It's the prodigal's father. It's the story of a son that one day came to his father and demanded. He says, give me my portion, the portion that is going to fall to me. He says, Father, give it to me now. The father divided unto his two sons his living. I suppose in many ways, friend, this father was hoping that that would keep the boy, because he gave him so much. Friend, let me tell you, the tragedy here is this. He paid his way into the far country, because the Bible says that not many days after, that's Luke 15, verse 13, the younger son gathered all together and he took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. But thank God this father didn't give up on his son. Here's a father, and I believe before God, friend, that this father sought the face of God for his boy. Every day he was in that far country, he sought God's face for his son. Is that what you're doing for your wayward child tonight? See, the word of God says, train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he shall not depart. Doesn't say not depart. Friend, what kind of a foundation are you giving them in your home? What kind of a foundation are you giving to your children tonight? Are you living Christ? There's no use you sending your child, my friend, to Sunday school and church if you have no desire to be there in the house of God yourself. How can you say to me, Father, look at you? How can you say that to me, Mom? Look at you. And my friend, let me tell you, here's a father, and he loves his boy, and his boy goes into the far country. You say, how do I know that this father is one who is longing for a son to come home again? Because when he was a great way off, the father saw him. And he ran out, and he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And he gave him the best robe. And he put the ring on his finger and he put shoes on his feet. He was an affectionate father. He was an approachable father. He was an assuring father. And even though his boy was in the far country, he never gave up on him. He loved him to the end. Dad, in God's name, I say to you, don't give up on your child. Always remember when I was just a young teenage boy, I remember going to a mission that was outside Cookstown. I remember a father and mother were there, an old man, an old woman, and they had a son. The father and mother loved the Lord, and the son went deep into the world. No matter what the father and mother would seek to do, the son just went further and further and deeper into sin. There's a gospel mission coming to Cookstown, but there was no place to put it. And this father and mother had just a little piece of ground in the front of their garden. That's all they owned. He said to the pilgrims there, he said, listen, take that piece of ground and put the hall up there. And so they did. I remember going to the early morning prayer meetings in that little mission. Night after night, going to that mission. And friend, let me tell you this, when the mission came to the end, one of the final nights, thank God their son Sammy could see it. They had only one wee piece of ground and they gave it up for God. And after years of praying and praying and pleading for the soul of their son, thank God, in their own front garden, their son got saved by the grace of God. Where's my wandering boy tonight? Friend, they can be far away, but I beg you in God's name, be that spiritual father. Be that spiritual. Don't give up. hold on to God for them and pray through for God to save them. I'm just going to mention two others before we close. I want to come to a sorrowing father. Turn to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel, friend, let me tell you, it's a story of a great man. His name's David. Now, David was a king. He was a writer of many of the psalms and songs unto the Lord. But let me tell you, David was just a man. And the thing about David was this. He had a son that broke his heart. The story is a story of Absalom. And I just mentioned chapter 13 because of time. Chapter 13, look at verse number 36. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's son came and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur, and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Absalom planned the murder of his brother. And Absalom broke his father's heart. Turn to chapter 15. You say, is that his weeping over? Turn to chapter 15, and it says in verse number 13, and there came a messenger to David, saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. Verse 30. And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, and he wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went. The father brought him home after the murder of Amnon. And he undermined his father as the king. And he stole the hearts of the people from his father. And now his father has to leave the palace and Jerusalem. And he's going up the Mount of Olives. And he's the king and he's barefoot. Who's he running from, friend? His son. And his heart's breaking. He weeps as he goes. You say, is his weeping over? Turn to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 32. And the men said unto Cushai, or the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? You see, the father still loved him. Even though he broke his heart, his father loved him. And now there was a battle. And in the battle, my Absalom was against the king. But the king's heart was still after his son. And when Cushai came, the first question was, is the young man Absalom safe? Because she answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. In other words, they're all dead. You have one king, David. Verse 33. And the king was much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate and he wept.
And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, tell me, friend, why was David's heart broken? Surely he had won the victory. Surely he had overcome Absalom's rebellion. Why did David say, I would have gladly have died for the son, for thee, son? Why did he say that? Because David was ready. And he knew Absalom wasn't. And he knew Absalom was lost. And it broke his heart. A sorrowing father. Because of a wayward son. Who went to hell. Jumping over his father's love. Was lost. The last picture tonight is a saving father. Thank God we can end here. Hebrews chapter 11. And in Hebrews chapter 11, go with me please, just to verse of God's word there, verse number 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Fathers tonight in this meeting, mums, God has given you responsibility in your home. Listen, I beg you in God's name, pray for the salvation of your children. There is no greater joy than to know your children walk in truth. Now Noah built an ark. He preached the word for 120 years. And not one of his neighbors were saved. And God says, come in, Noah. And thank God he got his family in. He got his sons in. He got his sons' wives in. He got himself in. And his wife. And then God shut the door. It says here, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Some years ago, there was an old Scotch woman. She was 97 years of age. And it was getting dark. She turned to her old husband. It was near the end of the journey for her, and she said, it's getting night. Husband, she said, it's getting night. Yes, Janet, it's getting night. And then her mind started to wander a bit and back to the olden days when her loved one, with her loved ones. And the old man knew the end was near. And then in a moment she said to him, are the boys all in? Yes, Janet. The boys are all in. Friend, the boys had gone home to heaven some years before. He said, yes, the boys are all in, Janet. And then in a few moments, she turned to him and she said, and I'll soon be in. Yes, Janet.
You'll soon be in. And then she looked at her old partner of years and she said, and you'll soon come too. Yes, Janet. I'll soon come too. And then she reached up her wee arms and she put those bony arms around her husband's neck and she brought him down by her side. And this is the last she said. And he will then shut us all in. All in. And she went home to glory. Friend, are all the children in? Are the family in Christ? Dad, are you in Christ? Are you saved? May God help you to be like Noah, to lead the family in to the ark. And God shut them in. Let's pray.